Welcome to Medical Educate Talks.
Hello, and welcome to MedEd Cafe, DMEG's new podcast series where we sit down with early career medical educators and talk about all things hashtag MedEd.
Hi everybody, welcome back to Medical Educate Talks MedEd Cafe, and we're back with a podcast with myself, LJ, Jamie, Lewis and Cara. Say hi everyone.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello.
So today we're going to have a little bit of a review of DMEG in 2022 and a little look forward to DMEG in 2023. There's lots of exciting things we've been getting up to and we're so excited to share it with you all. So we've got a few stats, a few numbers, just to kick things off. DMEG released 10 podcast episodes in 2022 with over 1,000 listens. We broke 1,500 followers on Twitter. We hosted our own conference. We did a bunch of workshops at different MedEd conferences over the summer. And we recruited a brand new committee with 8 new people. So that's all so, so exciting. But I want to ask the team, what have your highlights been? Jamie first.
I think probably my biggest highlight actually was recruiting the new gang. We had so many more applications than we expected. And we had loads of people who were really enthusiastic, who had lots of great skills. And it was great fun talking to people about where DMEG is currently, where people see us, where we've come from, but also where they see us going. And it's just quite exciting to see us becoming a part of the MedEd community and really looking forward to this year, cementing ourselves in that. And I've really enjoyed the interview process.
Fab, how about you, Cara?
I find it difficult to just choose one. But I think I'll stick to two things that were my highlights. So number one, it was doing the podcast. I enjoyed getting stuck into that so much. And I don't know if I've actually shared this with you guys, but on my bucket list, like sort of things that I've wanted to do for a long time, was I wanted to host a podcast. So thank you guys for helping me cross that off my list. So that was a big highlight. And then the other highlight was the conference. Absolutely loved getting to chat with, speak to, hear about all the cool stuff that's happening in MedEd. And we had such a great attendance and there was so much like passion for MedEd. I just love being together with fellow MedEd-ers, what do we call ourselves? Whatever we call ourselves. Like it really was a special event for me. So yeah, those are my two highlights of the year.
I'll let you get away with two. How about you, Lewis?
Well, I think Cara's taken my one, which is obviously going to be the podcasts being my little baby. I think it's something that I'm particularly proud of because, you know, this time last year, it was just something that didn't exist. And now it does. And it's out there and it's in the real world. And people that I don't know are listening to something that we've created. And I think that's something that's really incredible. But I will give a separate answer as well. Seeing as Cara got two, I have a second one. One of the highlights for me, I think, has been the DMEG debates, actually. The regular sessions that we run, because it's just a really nice opportunity that I found throughout the year to speak to other people that are interested in medical education and have an hour in an evening just kind of slightly nerding out about medical education and talking to people that are really interested. And it's not something that I get to do in my kind of day-to-day role. So that was something that I'd really enjoyed throughout the last year and I can't wait for them to start again this year.
Thank you. Well, I'm pleased that the highlights include the podcast, seeing as we're back recording another one. So that's really good. I agree. I hope we all agree that the podcast has been a particular highlight and something that we at DMEG should be really, really proud of. My personal highlight was speaking at the AMI conference in Lyon. We got to go to France, Jamie and I, and do a symposium with DMEG and with our friends and colleagues at the Academy of Medical Educators. That's probably my highlight of the year. And that was just an absolutely insane skyrocket. I had no idea that was going to be what happened when I signed up to join DMEG way back when. So really, really proud of that. I think that was my particular highlight. So just to pick back up on what Lewis said about DMEG debates, I actually really enjoyed DMEG debates as well this year. We had so many people join in and bring their experiences and their voices and their opinions to some really interesting topics that we discussed. And I think actually that's sort of the essence of DMEG, is that you get these people joining in and discussing and chatting. And I think actually that's probably why we wanted to recruit new committee members, not just sort of build DMEG in that way, but because we have so many interested people joining DMEG debates and bringing their passion for medical education to that forum, that actually recruiting people made a lot more sense, just to get more voices. Are you guys excited, looking forward with our new recruited committee members?
I'm 100% excited. And I don't know if people know this actually, but you guys recruited me from a DMEG debate. So that's how my journey with DMEG started. I rocked up at the DMEG debate. I shared my opinion, you know, not something I usually do. And, you know, it all started from there. And I think that's the thing I love about DMEG debates, is that it's, at least I consider it to be, a safe space where medical educators can come together and talk through the issues. And because it's a debate, we get people on both sides, you know, of the room, those people who are for and against. And it really, I'd have to say that there have been some DMEG debates where I left that debate and did something different with my practice as a result of that debate. I'm curious. Jamie, did you have any like particular DMEG debates that you enjoyed? I think there were a couple that I can think of that you were pretty, you know, passionate about.
Me? No, it doesn't sound like me. I mean, I love DMEG debates because it's such a good place just to meet people who have that same passion as you. And the MedEd world is really quite small. And yeah, we obviously met you in DMEG debates. I can't remember what the debate was that we had when you first came. Maybe it was the one about whether we need standards in medical education. And I think that was quite a hot topic because we're an offshoot of the Academy of Medical Educators, and the professional standards are such an integral part of who they are as an organisation and who we are as an offshoot. And it was surprising about how people didn't know that there were professional standards out there. And I see DMEG debates as almost like a grand round or a journal club where we can all talk about what's going on in medical education. What are the new techniques? What are the new pieces of research? How are people finding it up and down the country or managing with the sort of pressures that we've got going on? And some of the cool stuff that people are doing, which you just don't hear about. And one of the things that I love about DMEG is that instead of waiting the year to find out what someone in Glasgow has done at a conference, there's an opportunity every month to chat to like-minded individuals about what you're doing. And I just think that's really cool as a whole thing.
I think another really good output of DMEG this year, obviously being the conference, but to sort of pick up on what you said in terms of not waiting to find out what someone's been doing at a conference, we've been sharing the video pitches that we had submitted to our conference throughout the year. And I think that's something I'm really proud of at DMEG, that we try and break that bubble of only sharing and collaborating at conferences and at very specific events throughout the year. I'd like to think that we're doing quite a good job of sort of like leveling the playing field and opening things up for early career educators. And I'm really looking forward to sort of building that through into 2023. What do you think, Lewis?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really useful to have these regular kind of discussion points, and it means that you can come meet people without, like I said, having to wait for an annual conference and without the cost associated with going towards the conference as well. So actually it makes it that bit more accessible. One, if you don't have the study budget to allow you to go, or you don't have to take a whole day off work, or, you know, arrange childcare or other kind of caring commitments and stuff like that, you can still come and be involved. And because they happen regularly, if you miss one, well, there's another one coming up in the not too distant future. So there's always a good opportunity to get involved. And I think it's always really useful to hear different people's opinions. And it's another reason that I'm so excited about having the new people on the committee, is because sometimes you'll be doing something and then someone will say, oh, have you thought about, what if you change this to this? And suddenly you're like, mind blown. Why didn't I think of this before? That's fantastic. And just like that, you've got a brand new way of doing something. And it just takes someone to look at what you're doing that little bit differently. So hopefully that's one of the things that these members of the new committee are gonna bring to the table, and some kind of new collaboration and iterative changes coming up soon for all of the DMEG outputs.
And I totally have to agree with that idea of like leveling the playing field, because as you guys know, at the time I was working in the Highlands. And it's really difficult to travel from the north of Scotland. And, you know, budgets aren't unlimited study budgets. And so choices had to be made over the year about what I could or couldn't attend. And because there was DMEG debates, like, it was something that was freely available. I could join in after I finished work, and I could be together with a group of like-minded individuals, or not like-minded, because that's important too, getting all sorts of voices there. And I think it was actually really pivotal to my growth as a medical educator over the year, because you have your peers that you work with on the ground with the students or trainees or, you know, even other healthcare professionals that you're teaching and working alongside. But it's really helpful to be able to take a step back and then be able to like debrief almost with a wider group of people. And to do that again, I'm going to come back to that safe space. It's because we, you know, abide by a sort of a code, which is that we respect each other and we hopefully listen to each other. I think we do. and so that's where the magic happens. You know, that's where people generate new ideas or have a realization that maybe they need to think things differently. And if we haven't sent it enough, please come to our DMEG debates. We would love to have you there.
I was just going to pick up on what you were saying about having alternate views there. And one of the things DMEG debates did for me is that sometimes I was hosting and frustratingly a lot of the people had the exact same view and we were just talking about things we agreed with. And that made me try and consider the other point of view and stir the pot a little, and as a compere, as a host, it allowed me to think slightly outside the box. And I tend to journal after these types of things and write down my ideas, because otherwise I can't keep them in my head. And quite often after DMEG debates, I'd have to write something down and be like, no, this is something that actually might work. I know I said this is a fairly rash point to try and provoke a reaction, but actually this could be really great. This could be a good idea. And just being around people who are as buzzed about medical education as I am was just helpful for setting my brain alight with new ideas and things that we could do as a committee. So, you know, DMEG debates has just been fantastic for me.
You love to play the devil's advocate, don't you, Jamie?
Yes. Yes.
I wanted that on tape. I wanted that on tape.
Yeah, now it's in black and white. It's there. You win.
So, moving swiftly on. So, looking forward to 2023, having this new committee involved, I think that as well as more in terms of what we already produce, like more podcast episodes for those who like listening to this. And we're also super excited to be building on sort of collaborating with other groups. In 2022, we collaborated with a couple of different institutions and organisations to bring different events. But this year we're sort of thinking a bit bigger. And I'm super excited about doing that. I think it'd be really, really nice to sort of join forces with other groups. Cara, you're nodding with the collaborating with others. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I think as you were talking about like what your aspirations or goals or the things you're excited about for the year ahead, I was thinking about workshops and conference workshops, and including collaboration with other sort of early career educator groups, and being able to create something together. So I think for this year, from like a DMEG point of view, that's something I'm quite excited about, because Jamie earlier was talking about how he found the recruitment of new individuals to our committee as being a personal highlight for him. And I think that just demonstrates how DMEG is growing. And so what I'm looking forward to is creating an even wider reach. And by doing so, by hosting some really great workshops and meeting people who wouldn't have heard about DMEG otherwise. What about you, Jamie? What are you looking forward to in the upcoming year?
I think the big thing I'm looking forward to is just seeing what we can achieve as a group. We've gone through this nuts year of trying to grow and make all of these ideas that we had at the beginning of the last year actually happen. Like Lewis said earlier, at the start of last year, we didn't have a podcast. We had run like two DMEG debates, and the conference was something that was going to be 9 months away. And we've built all of that. LJ's worked hugely hard on our sort of social media side of things. And what I'd really like to see is I'd really like to just see us cement all that hard work into all of these things becoming really good, regular things that people know about. And word of mouth is so important in MedEd. How are we going to make sure that we don't just catch the CTFs that we know and the teaching fellows that we know and all of the people coming through? Is that actually I want DMEG to be something that people who are coming into education know, people who have spent a year in, and people who are now developing their careers further. And I think that stability and maintenance of what we've achieved, I think that will be really awesome for the year ahead if we can make that happen. We'll see.
It's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to as well, is trying to make, like you said, all of these things sustainable, because it's one thing to have a great project, put all your enthusiasm and get it off the ground. It's another thing to try and keep it in the air once you've got going. And, you know, I've been involved in quite a lot of MedEd projects over the years, and they often start off great. You've got someone who's enthusiastic. With enough enthusiasm, you can basically make anything work for a short period of time, but it's how you turn that from, this is something I'm really passionate about and I'm going to make work because I'm going to will it into existence, into this is something that's going to exist for a long time after, you know, I've put it down, because it's something that is genuinely worthwhile and because people believe in it and because, you know, you've set up a system that means that it's sustainable. And trying to work out the nuances of how we go from, this works because I know every single asset of it and I do it all on my own, to we've now got a team of people working towards how we can keep this thing running. And this is going to hopefully continue to grow and continue to be built on for the next 5, 10, 20 years. Trying to work out that process and that kind of puzzle is something that I'm quite looking forward to doing.
I absolutely agree. I think that making DMEG sustainable going forward is so important. And I think that the best way of doing that is to look at what we've done, what we've achieved, and reflect on all of that so that we can apply that to what we do in the future as we move together as a group. I'm excited to see what we do next. But in the spirit of reflection, a neat little segue into asking you all what your highlights of 2022 have been.
I guess like a lot of my highlights from my MedEd year are tied into DMEG. So I talked about, you know, the podcast. That was a really big deal for me, actually. Like, I was so nervous the first time I recorded, and I put so much prep work into it. And I was so lucky that Alan Dennison is such a lovely person to interview. And after I finished it, I was like, I love that. I want to do this again. That was great. And what made me enjoy the process more was getting feedback from my students at the time or people who maybe I had just been acquainted with and them coming back saying, you know, we love that, we want to hear more. So I cannot like underplay what a big deal that was for me. A big thing that happened sort of in my year was I really got stuck into the academic MedEd world. So I went to my first MedEd conferences. I won my first poster prize for a MedEd project I had done. And honestly, it was such a whirlwind of a year and there were so many highlights. I sat down and wrote down what happened in my MedEd career and over the past 12 months, and I honestly couldn't pick. But I'll say this because I've said this previously, I don't think that would have happened had I not had you guys there for support. I really look to this group to get that, you know, that what's the word I'm looking for? There's a technical word for it. So is that community of practice? Can I say that we're sort of a community of practice? Okay, we're going full MedEd geek here. But yeah, I think those were some personal highlights. So I'm curious, Lewis, what were your highlights from 2022?
So I think this past year, obviously the podcast has been a huge highlight for me. It's been a really interesting time learning how to kind of take the recordings, do all the editing, uploading it. I've got an account with Apple Podcasts now, which is a bit of an unusual thing. I'm sure not that many people can say that. But another thing that I'd really been trying to work on was some of the advice that we got from Jackie Hayden in the first podcast, actually, about medical education leadership, when she said that to be a good leader, you need to be, clinically sound and respected within your field. And actually, that's something that I've been trying to focus on this past year as well, is to kind of consolidate my knowledge within my practice in anaesthetics, so that I can look at taking those next steps to go from someone who's, you know, early career involved in lots of different projects, maybe with some minor leadership roles, but then to look forward into the career and not only to the next kind of couple of years, but maybe what the next 30 years or so is going to show, so that I can look into what projects I need to get involved in and, you know, how I can really cement MedEd into my career moving forward. And that's something that I'm quite looking forward to exploring, actually, and over the next year or so, is, you know, what's involved in all of these MedEd roles that a lot of people hear about, but maybe we don't necessarily know so much about. You know, what does a college tutor do? What does it mean to be the director of medical education? So this is maybe something that we can explore in terms of podcasts, but also is something that I personally would like to find out a little bit more about in helping me build my future career.
Nice. I think to take what you said about leadership is that I think probably one of my highlights of 2022 from a medical education side of things is developing my identity as a leader is one of them. And certainly DMEG's been a part of that, is that we've had to go from nothing to having a good understanding of how we run and some systems and processes. And there have been real challenges and things that I've learned as a leader and how I can best improve that going forward. And from my sort of medical education side of things at the university, I have really been trying to take that jump from doing teaching and being passionate and enjoying teaching through to the other less well talked about things in education, like how do you actually support that struggling student? How does the university go about that? What is the role of a lecturer at a university with that? And also, how do you run an assessment? How do you effectively run an assessment that's fair and that isn't just based on the theory of how to run an assessment, how to actually practically do it? And taking that step from sort of very junior educator who enjoys teaching towards becoming an educator in a wider sort of university setting, that's been really, really interesting for me in this past year. And I think probably next year is trying to develop on that a bit more, trying to lead on some assessments and have a better understanding of that, and try and make sure that I'm not constantly asking my boss for support for my tutor group for how to help them going forward. But it's been a really, really interesting year, and I've learned so much from what we've done at DMEG and from what I've done at the university, and hopefully that will just continue going forward.
I'm actually really glad that you mentioned challenges, Jamie, because I think like what we've been guilty of during this whole podcast is being like, yay, this is so great, yay, this happened, and it hasn't been easy. Like this is the thing. And so I wanted to share like something I found difficult over the past year, specifically with regards to MedEd. And I think we talked about it in our last MedEd Cafe, which is this assumption that MedEd doesn't happen within working hours. So last year, I think the first 3 months of the year was probably the most stressful and difficult period I had from the whole year, because I was doing two modules of my master's in medical education while working full time. So I would do like a full day in GP practice, come home late, and then I would be up till like 11 o'clock at night trying to do work for my assignments. And I was miserable. And I had since decided that I'm not going to do this. Like, I really enjoy research. I really enjoy academia. I want to do my master's. So I decided to look for an academic post that would then like support me in being able to have time for that. And I think this is where it's important to recognize that behind all of those like big flashy things like organizing a conference, getting a podcast together, you know, getting a great grade on your assignment, there's a lot of like blood, sweat and tears. Like there've definitely been tears on my part.
So and coffee.
Although I'm trying to decrease that. But I actually wanted to ask LJ this because she's been hosting. What for you has been like the highlight of the year, but also like something that's challenging, but of something that maybe learned from it, or something that, you know, changed for you as a medical educator?
I suppose the biggest overarching theme for me this year is knowing my worth as an educator, which sounds very like profound and very important, but actually I think that it was fairly simple and it happened very quickly. In that I started a new role and quickly within education and quickly felt not valued for what I was worth as an educator, and perhaps being judged based on my clinical juniority as opposed to my experience and qualification in education. I felt sort of not valued, but being able to understand that that might not be my fault, that it might have been more of an external reason why I wasn't being valued, and being able to come, like we've said before, come to DMEG debates, come to our DMEG meetings, talk to you guys about that, allowed me to realise that that wasn't a singular experience of mine. It was something that everybody experiences, and it's kind of pushed me forward in the projects that I've ended up pursuing in the latter half of the year and going into 2023 is trying to think about how education and how educators are viewed in a clinical environment, because I do think we're undervalued, and that's made sort of driven me further forward. But yes, it was challenging. There was tears on my part too at points, so that's okay. We all cried. Maybe not Lewis. Lewis is.
I was gonna be like, probably Jamie's definitely cried, but Lewis.
Lewis looks like a nice, chilled out chap, everybody. Yeah, he's the sort of guy that is cool as a cucumber, which is why he's an anaesthetist.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got to say that there were no tears about MedEd related things this year. But I think in the scheme of kind of admitting that everything hasn't been sunshine and roses for the whole year, I think one of the things that I've really found that I've been lacking in the past year is actually just kind of basic organized teaching, I've had a profound involvement in a lot of these kind of big flashy sounding projects. But as Cara said, I was also working full time trying to balance all this stuff. And I think the thing that for me, I had to let slip was actually delivering teaching in person on a regular basis. And it's something that I'd always really enjoyed doing. But this last year, I've basically had that ad hoc student every now and then, you know, a student comes into theatre, you grab them and you try and, you know, teach them while you can, whilst you've got them there for a bit of time. I've had some sporadic involvements in sim sessions, but compared to what I've done in the past, it's been nowhere near the amount of kind of organised teaching. But as you guys have kind of alluded to, you know, we're not superhumans. We can't do everything for everyone all of the time. And actually, medical education could be a full-time job. Obviously, clinical practice is a full-time job. You've also got to fit, you know, a life and family and other responsibilities around all of that. And actually, you know, getting that balance right isn't something that's easy. And I think it's something that people struggle with throughout their career. So I think there's no shame in finding that bit difficult.
Maybe a topic for a future podcast episode is how to, or a DMEG debates even, to think about how we manage that balance, because it can feel like you're spinning millions of plates. And in the need or want to do better and do well within medical education or clinical practice, you end up saying yes to so much stuff. And then by the time you've sort of settled down and realized what it is you've agreed to do, it can feel overwhelming at times. I think streamlining is going to be my word for 2023. Speaking of 2023, what are we all looking forward to? What are our personal goals or aspirations for 2023 within MedEd?
I think that my main goal is going to be continuing to develop. So taking on a bit more independence in doing various things at the university, and I really want to get better at that. And like Lewis last year, this year for me is a real year to focus on my clinical side of things, because I've changed careers and I'm in a completely different brand of medicine where we do things completely differently, and it's a very different approach to medicine. And I'm hoping that this year I can continue to develop my expertise in that field, alongside being able to continue my role at the university and develop there as well. Development all round.
I think my goal for 2023 is a bit more, what's the word I should say, specific, in that since I CCT'd as a GP, so the moment I CCT'd, I started a master's, and I was doing that first while locuming, and then alongside a med ed job, and now I'm doing it within an academic post. So my plan for 2023 is to submit my med ed dissertation. Kapow. So watch this space, guys.
I can't wait to read it. Yay.
And what a way to have a smart target, you know, none of this. Because I was just about to say, you know, I'd like to figure some things out, or it was about to be a very wishy-washy, and then you come in, bam, this is what I'm going to achieve. And you know what? I'm going to be able to tick off when I've done it. Whereas I think for me, for 2023, my desire is to kind of explore, as I said before, some of these extra roles within MedEd to see actually which one of these is going to fit me in the future. Because I'm acutely aware that training doesn't last forever. And, you know, it may still be a few years off now, but actually that point of CCT and then where do you go will come around a lot sooner, I think, than a lot of people appreciate. And so it's kind of looking forward and trying to either work out that a particular avenue is definitely not for me, or that actually, yes, I'm interested in that, so that I can try and get more involved with projects and be on the right track from now, rather than get to CCT and suddenly think, oh, actually what I'd like to do has nothing to do whatsoever with everything that I've been involved in to date. And then you kind of, you go and you ask them, oh, actually I'd like to be involved with this, and they say, but you've got no experience, even really know what's going on. So I think that exploration of the rest of my career, which is probably about as far from the specific goal as you can get.
Well, thank you all for being so open. That was all a lot more transparent and open than I thought it would be. We've even talked about crying on the podcast today, which has been lovely. Not entirely lovely, a little bit lovely, nice and open. So I suppose to close off this this episode of Medical Educator Talks MedEd Cafe, thank you all so much for sort of looking back on 2022 with me and looking forward to 2023. I think it's going to be a fabulous year. More podcasts, more events, more workshops, more social media, more team members, more conference, more everything, more collaboration. So we're really, really excited, and we really want to bring everybody who's listening along for the ride. Tell your friends, bring them along too, especially if they're vets, especially if they're dentists, and especially if they're PAs, because we would love to have them on board as well. So thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Ciao.
Bye.
So that's it for today's episode of Medical Educator Talks. We hope you've enjoyed it, and if you have, please give us a follow so you can find out when the next episode is released. If you'd like to find out more information about the Developing Medical Educators group, visit medicaleducators.org, and we'll see you in the next episode.